Like a star of light, it lets me by. I open my eyes to take a peek, to find that I don't spy in the stinging, gazing with tranquility.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Hurdy Gurdy Songs. This is your host, Jorge. We're very pleased. Today's episode, we're going to focus on something I think that we're all kind of suffering from, which is the President Blues. And we're going to be playing songs that focus on these leaders that we have and have had in our history since we did just celebrate our wonderful Independence Day. I do want to right away acknowledge our very first special guest artist, who is Lamont Jack Dapa Perley, who I'm very pleased to have here today. So let me introduce Lamont Jack Perley. Welcome to Hurdy Gurdy Songs. You are the first.
Well, thank you, Brother Jorge. I'm honored for several reasons. First, to be the first, that's always a great thing. So now the bar is really set high.
Well, let's see. I think Lamont is a blues scholar. He's based here in New York City. He has family connections that stretch back to like the deep basin of the blues sources. And we're going to basically be picking Lamont's brain on some of this stuff. And now, if it's Tuesday, it's Blues Day here at Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you for joining us. Welcome. What I'm really looking for from Lamont is to kind of help me in this commentary and the contextualization of some of these songs, because we're covering a wide variety of songs. And I just want to go just jump right on in. But before I do, I must say that Lamont is an amazing musician, performer, educator, scholar. Someone that here in New York has established himself as a real force for the blues and a real advocate for the blues. So I think of him as a scholar and activist first, and also an amazing music lover. Lamont, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into our presidents?
Sure. First, I want to say thank you for that. And I did not have to pay him for that. I'll keep it as brief as possible. You know, there's this idea, or as the term they use now, this narrative that African Americans do not have a history. And this is a narrative that's been going on for quite a long time. And that kind of inspired me to delve into my personal family lineage, which starts with the blues. And for what it's worth, in to about 1863, maybe, I believe, 1863 or 1873 is as far back as we was able to trace at least one side of my family. And this all started in the area where the blues began, as well as during the time the blues began, the Reconstruction. So that kind of motivated me to begin to share this history and story of our story, the blues, right? The blues people, what I like to refer to us as.
That's right. The blues people, quoting from Leroy Jones's
Yes, sir.
Very good, very good. Thank you. What we're going to do is returning to this to the theme of presidents. What motivated us for Hurdy Gurdy Songs to go down this road is that the young lion in Mississippi, Quan Willis, started a discussion, a thread around the question of whether there are politics in the blues, whether the blues man is a political artist as such. And while in this program we try not to be overtly political, clearly music and politics cannot be divested one from the other.
Absolutely not.
So what we're going to start with right away is a piece by J.B. Lenoir, going back to President Dwight Eisenhower. So let's start with that, and then we'll come back to Lamont. In fact, let me play a couple of tunes, and we'll come back to Lamont, and we'll talk a little bit about these tunes. So I hope you enjoy.
I'm talking to you. I've been telling you, Jab, but this is not your truth. I got them out of the house. Thinking about me and you. What on earth are we gonna do? My money's gone. My fun is gone. The way things look, how can I be here alone?
Jackson on a 20 is really great. And if you're talking about not an old man friend. That will get you out of whatever you in. Them dead presidents. Them dead presidents. Well, I ain't broke, but I'm better than bent. Everybody love them dead presidents. Franklin is really sweet. 500 McKinnon is the one for me. If I get a Cleveland, I'm really set. $1,000 Cleveland is hard to get. Them dead presidents. Them dead presidents. Well, I ain't broke, but I'm better than bent. Everybody loved them dead presidents.
Now there you have Dead Presidents by Little Walter. That's Checker Records back in Checker Records number 1081 and 1964 release. And before that, you heard an interesting tune that was actually covered by Elvis Costello on his King of America 2007 release. Mr. Pearly.
Yes, sir.
Thoughts? Thoughts on these two? This Eisenhower Blues and then Dead Presidents.
I have many thoughts, actually. I think I'll start with the quickest statement. Little Walter, being someone of what we would call from around the way, so to speak, he shows the connection actually between hip hop and the blues. I just wanted to throw that out there because we still refer to money as dead presidents, and Jay-Z did a song called Dead Presidents, so it's just ironic. But as far as politics goes, it is extremely disturbing and sad to me that 60, 70, 80 years later, and I'll say 60, 70 because we didn't go that far back yet, we're still talking about the same thing in music, in politics, and the social injustice and financial and economic injustice, right? Because that was the purpose of the blues from the beginning. First free expression of freed African Americans who were being robbed of their opportunities of making a living. So here we have blues of the late 40s, early 50s discussing the same thing, right? And one of the other big, facts or points to this. We're talking about these songs during the time of, I believe, around the time of the second migration, right? So there was a lot going on in America at the time, and there's a lot going on in America right now. We're still talking about this. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, poverty and the pervasive effects of poverty on black people through the blues. Definitely those two songs highlight those elements. Now there was hope, at least there was.
Well, you know,
with someone like JFK, which is where we're going to move on to next, is a song by Avery Brady called, who's a Mississippi blues man, by the way, and here's a tune of his called Poor Kennedy.
Mm.
When right now, my poor Kenny, riding down the street in his car. Some poor enemy shoot him down. Daddy fell in a white arm. Well, I'm a little way down the road that I give out. I will go. Oh, Kenny, gone down, down in the ground. Thing was sad, they were blue, that I closed my jaw, sat in the room, look at Harvey, passing up by my dirty grave. Where my Kenny trying to be for the poor, lagging for the rich, but some gun shoot them down.
Let's move on now to champion Jack Dupree doing his President Kennedy blues.
They got elected. The news went around the world. Yes, when President Kennedy got elected, the news went around the world. Here's the youngest man try to satisfy the world. He said, I'm gonna find Khrushchev. I want to see what he's putting down. He said, I want to find Mr. Khrushchev. I just want to see what he's. Try to get together. See, can't we settle down? He sent Mr. Khrushchev a letter. Say, meet me in Geneva town. Double letter. Say, meet me in Geneva town. Say, we can get together. talk peace, now settle down. Mr. Khrushchev agreed. What he said have to be in Vienna town. Yeah, Mr. Khrushchev agreed. Still have to be in Vienna town. Say we can get right on down to business. We'll talk peace for the whole world round. Say we won't have no war. We'll talk satellite and hitting the moon. Yes, we won't have no war. We'll talk satellites and hit the moon. And everybody will be happy. And all the boys will go back home.
Yeah, there's another good example of how things really don't change too much. two pieces, two blues, topical blues, dedicated to JFK, Poor Kennedy, Avery Brady, and Champion Jack Dupree, President Kennedy Blues. Lamont, your thoughts on this, specifically regarding this question of blues being a topical music.
Well, first I have to say one of the most sweetest sounds to my ear is piano blues. And Champion Jack Dupree is one of my favorites. The last two selections, just on the musical aspect, is really what the blues was built on. Simplicity and technique, of course, but a lot of emotion, right? And what great musicians think are basic, but the listeners find it to be very intricate. So that's like the foundation of the blues on both tunes. In regards of blues being topical, it is absolutely topical.
But isn't it true, Lamont? I mean, there's a lot of so-called blues experts who often describe the blues as blues about, you know, honky-tonking, juking, you know, the party, you know, the release, the breaking away from the strictures of a society.
Well, that is kind of an oxymoron, which you just said, not what you said, but that train of thought, right? Uh-huh. Because just the idea of intentionally taking an act to break away from societal woes is a political choice, right? As for those quote-unquote historians and experts and enthusiasts, they're quite shallow and superficial in their train of thought, not their human, their person, of course, mm-hmm. right? But they don't understand the blues as a blues person. And if they would say the same thing about Appalachian music, or if they say the same thing about, I can't think of a specific style of music, Afro jazz, mm-hmm. you know, Afro-Cuban jazz, whatever. Not whatever, but, you know, you're minimizing the voice, right? Blues is like the blacks, it comes from the black spirituals, right? Blues is the voice of the people, right? The voice of the people make music, folk songs, the voice of the oppressed, songs of the oppressed. Mm-hmm. That's political in itself, mm-hmm. topical within itself.
Now, there was a lot of, I think these last two examples, it's a different kind of message than what we heard earlier with Dead Presidents about capital, you know,
right?
And here there seems to be a genuine appreciation of what Kennedy at least signified in some way.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I would not be surprised if I heard some blues song pop up about Bill Clinton because everybody thought he was the next Kennedy. I would not be surprised if a blues song came up about Obama because everybody thought he was the African, Hawaiian American Kennedy, right? Mm-hmm. So absolutely, yeah. I know. See, here is the nuts and bolts and the grits of everything. Blues people.
Here it is. It is, folks. Here it is.
Here it is. You know, we're human beings with human feelings, aspirations. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to take care of our kids to the best of our ability, love our woman or women, depending on what your lifestyle is or whatever the case may be. Right. So to have champion Jack Dupree or Brother Avery do songs specifically either championing or talking to a president in some sort of regard is not crazy because they were living through what was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's what the blues is. That's what music is. That's what poetry is. This is what we are, the voice of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Let's with that point, folks, if you have your song, your blues song, your hurdy-gurdy song that you want to send to me, and I'll take a listen and we'll maybe play it right here at Radio Free Brooklyn. That's one of the beauties of being at this community internet radio, that you can completely do what you want to do. So please, if you have your blues song about Bill Clinton, for example, send them to me. My email, Jorge@radiofreebrooklyn.org. And I'm always looking for these songs, for these, whether, you know, from every genre, every background. We're focusing on President Blues because I think we all got a little case of the President Blues these days. With that, let's move on to another president of ours, a little bit more recent, but this is Louisiana Red and Carrie Bell doing. Mm. Reagan is for the rich man.
You know Reagan is for the rich man. Poor man ain't got no way. Rich people getting richer and poor people dying by the day. I'll be so glad, so glad, so glad when Ronald Reagan's term is done. I'd rather see him in a cowboy movie than in the White House in a political run. Well, Reagan, Reagan, Reagan for the rich man. Poor man ain't got no way. Rich people getting richer and poor people dying by the day. All right, King. I used to be a truck driver, fellas, in Arizona, delivering turquoise for my pay. Boss cut my check down. I said, boss, man, you like Ronald Reagan every day. I had a poor old 80-year-old grandmother. He cut a Social Security check down. I'll be so glad, be so glad. Got no way, yeah.
our rich people getting richer, poor people dying by the day.
Why'd you like Roosevelt? Well, no kin. Why'd you like Roosevelt? Well, no kin. Why'd you like Roosevelt? Well, no kin. Lord God Almighty was a poor man friend. Year of 1945, a good president laid down and died. I knew how all of the poor people felt. They received the message, we lost Roosevelt. In his life, there were all indications that Warm Spring, Georgia, he would see salvation. Listen, friend, don't you rush. Elizabeth, she ran off, she grabbed a brush, dipped it in water and began to paint. Looked at the president and began to think. She never painted a picture for him at night. Knew that the president didn't look right. The time of day, it was 12 o'clock. Tell me that Elizabeth had to stop. Great God Almighty, she started too late. That's why they call this that unfinished portrait. A little bit later, about 1:30, he had a cerebral hemorrhage and the world looked muddy. They called Atlanta, Washington too, like zigzag lightning, the call went through. They called long distance to notify his wife. Dr. Bruin said he died at 3:35. Great God Almighty, was no bells to tone. Less than 30 minutes, the world was in moan. And I cried about Roosevelt. I cried about Roosevelt. I cried about Roosevelt. Well, Roosevelt's administration, Congress assembled. First time in history, appointed a Negro general. General Benjamin O. Davis, I'm trying to relate. First Negro general of the United States. And after Dorie Miller had shown his skill, they kept sending him to sea until he got killed. Roosevelt said, I'll back the attack. Appointed a Negro captain over white and black. This qualified man was Hugh Mulzack. Racial prejudice he tried to rule out. Invited Negro leaders into the White House. He advocated the fair practice of labor to let the poor man know he was our emancipator. Made Madam Bethune a lady of the land. He made part of his will to Mr. Pretty Man. He endorsed inventions of Dr. Washington Carver. This is why that I said he was an earthly father, cause he took my feet out of the mire clay. Haven't had to look back at the WPA. That is why I like Roosevelt. Why I like Roosevelt. Why I like Roosevelt. Well, Hoover's administration, Congress assembled. All of the poor folk began to tremble. The rich would ride in the automobile. Depression made poor people rob and steal. But look next door to our beloved neighbor, wasn't getting anything for their hard labor. But great God Almighty, there were moonshine stealing. Brought about a crime wave, robbing and killing. After Hoover had made the poor man moan, Roosevelt stepped in, gave us a comfortable home. It was sad about Roosevelt. Sad about Roosevelt. Sad about Roosevelt. Well, I've told you the history of Roosevelt's life. Now he's done with his grief and strife. Great God Almighty, but he left a sweet wife. Has been so worried since she was a girl. After Roosevelt's death, what would become of the world? She notified her son across the sea. Don't get worried about poor me, but keep on fighting for victory. Your father is dead, boys, you're all a grown. Wouldn't worry about your father, but the world is in moan. It was sad about Roosevelt. Sad about Roosevelt. Sad about Roosevelt. Well, God Almighty knew just what was best. He knew that the president had needed a rest. His battle done fought, victory done won. Our problems have just begun. Your burden get heavy and you don't know what to do. Call on Jesus, he's the president too. It's sad about Roosevelt. Sad about Roosevelt. Sad about Roosevelt. Lord God Almighty was a poor man friend.
There you have Willie Eason singing A Poor Man's Friend, Franklin D. Roosevelt, with wonderful recognition of his wife Eleanor as well. You are listening to Hurdy Gurdy Songs on Radio Free Brooklyn here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Glad to have you join us on this edition of President Blues. And if you had any question about whether the blues dealt with political, topical themes, these last two tunes that we've listened to Reagan is for the rich man and Franklin D. Roosevelt, the poor man's friend, contrasting approaches to the politics of our nation. The first piece, of course, was done by Louisiana Red and Carrie Bell. That comes from the American Folk Blues Festival in 83. And the second one, a Sacred Steel Guitar recording on Our Holy, 1997 recording. Mr. Perley, please, Dr. Perley, share with us some thoughts on this.
Well, the first thought that I had from the first song, Louisiana Red and Carrie Bell, all the way through to the second song, and ironically enough, it was almost stated. Howlin' Wolf was doing a performance. It was probably one, if I'm not mistaken, it might have been one of the Lomax's things. But Howlin' Wolf said, "Do you know the blues?" Or maybe let me do my Howlin' Wolf. The blues is when you poor, you can't pay your house note, and you're thinking evil because you ain't got no money to pay your bills. And that was the words going through my head as I listened to both songs, because one of the major focal points is finances. Another thing that was really impressive, and I'm happy that it was done, because it proves the literacy of African-American blues musicians, was Roosevelt, Poor Man's Friend. That was a history lesson in rhythm. And it not just a history lesson about Roosevelt, but the time of Roosevelt, the things that was going on, and what was going on with black people prior, what was going on with them during, and what was possibly going to happen after. Things that I'm sure most people didn't know, that Roosevelt appointed the first, right, African-American, was it general, right? You know, that's someone who obviously is literate. You know, Reagan, that song, you know, I come from the Reagan era. I witnessed the community and communities I grew up in and around during the Reagan era. And, you know, it's just ironic how many after Civil War Republicans, or better yet, the 60 versions of Republicans, right? When we had that switch, how at this day and age, their last 10 years maybe from Obama to our current president, they're so excited about this Reagan era and this Reagan presidency and how great it was. And I'm still searching for why it was so great. I think I found the answer, and it goes back to not only this song but the other song, right? Because the Reagan era was great for anyone in the cocaine business that did not look like me or a blues person, obviously, because that was, you know, it's the Reagan era started the mass incarceration of African American males, and the Clinton administration expounded upon that and made us into what did Hillary Clinton call us? Predators, right? The Reagan administration allowed Wall Street and bankers, as well as what some call conspiracy theorists or conspiracy theories, to allow a military happenings and programs to be funded by the drugs that destroyed my community. And ironically enough, how they say chickens come home to roost. It didn't just destroy my community. It didn't just destroy the Latin community, but it destroyed the white community as well. You know, so I'm not sure why people think the Reagan administration was so great. I love the song.
Well, the
I didn't mean to go so deep with it, but
no, that's good.
That's the blues.
That's why you're here, Mr. Pearly, to share these thoughts with us. And I just got to say that you know, you bring up Howlin' Wolf, and we're going to go on with Howlin' Wolf and a couple of two giants, Howlin' Wolf and Big Joe Williams. Mm. Moving on to our next president. And we'll come back to this idea of, what's the effect of these songs on the public? I mean, did these songs have any effect on the public?
That's a good question.
That's another question that Hurdy-Gurdy Songs tries to answer as best as we can. As you know, it's difficult to quantify the effect of a song on the public. But there's certainly, you know, we'll be doing prison blues, you know, we'll certainly be doing Hurdy-Gurdy prison blues segments, and there's a whole bunch of themes related to this idea of the blues as being topical music. So with that, let's move on to a couple songs. First one by Howlin' Wolf.
Everybody, have you heard the news? Folks at the White House got the Watergate blues. Don't do us wrong. If you do, don't make no mistake. Cause we'll blow the whistle on you. Just like we did the Watergate. Walking it beat, checking all the dough. Found a little piece of tape, now the whole world know. Don't do us wrong. If you do, don't make no mistake. Cause we'll blow the whistle on you. Just like we did the Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
place to stay and a new pair of shoes. Tell me how you feel when you got the Watergate blues. Don't do us wrong. If you do, don't make no mistake. Because we'll blow the whistle on you. Just like we did the Watergate.
In the gas station this morning, trying to get my gas ticket straight. Say, no, Big Joe, you can't get the 3 gallon gas because you remember this Watergate. Everywhere I go, can't hear a thing with Watergate. Well, I'll be so glad, when President Ford get everything straight. Well, now it was told him, I want your hands all go lay. Say, so much of water getting in my home, I just hardly got my pay to stay. She says, no, no, can't lay no more. Everywhere I go home, somebody knocking on my door. Everybody will leave President Nixon alone. Let him leave Long Beach, California, and going back to his Mansion home. Oh, yeah, in my room. I can't help thing but Watergate. I'm so glad with President Ford. Yeah, get everything straight.
Yeah. Big Joe Williams talking about the Watergate blues there. So, Lamont.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of this? These two versions of Watergate blues. Clearly a very important moment in American history, right?
Well, it absolutely on so many levels. I mean, Watergate, if not during, was the exact tail end of the British invasion, right? So we have like a high power coup on American music, on American government, and the music that was actually appropriated and resold back to America is addressing corruption, appropriation, and high-powered coups in the government. So, so you know, I think it's ironic. I think it's funny. I'm a huge Howlin' Wolf and Big Joe Williams fan.
And these are stars. These are like big names in the blues.
These are these are big dudes, first of all. They're like 6'6". But they are big names in the blues, very big names in the blues. They cemented a blueprint for people like me. Howlin' Wolf was on the radio, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and then one thing led to another. So yeah, these guys are humongous, they're legendary, and they're addressing it. I do want to address that, you know, it, because we spoke briefly off the air and you asked in regards of how these songs reached or affected the people. Right. And that's not that easy of a question to answer, because you have, at the time of the quote-unquote Chicago blues, right, of, at the time of the mid-50s, 60s, there was a shit, well, actually 45 and up, during the migration, there was also a shift in the music. There was a shift in the attitude, and that shift in the attitude started in the early 1900s, maybe. So now you have a group of African Americans who look down on the blues, or hold their nose up to the blues, right? It went from being devil's music to being backwood, get that, you know, backwood crap out of here. We're better people, right? Mm-hmm. So they were essentially talking to, and please don't be offended, but I'm keeping it as one, as we say, as 100 as possible. They were talking, the blues was talking like hip hop. Now the blues was talking to those who was rioting and looting, and then you have the quote unquote intellectual African Americans who some liked it and saw it and appreciated it, you know, the Langston Hughes, the Sterling Browns, but they were artists, so of course they would understand. But then you had those who weren't artists, and I'm quite sure those messages may not have reached them, mm-hmm. because even though they were saying the same things, their fight was different. Their fight was to get away from that, because that reminded them of where we all came from.
I get the sense, Lamont, from these tunes, these Watergate blues, is that not only was it a big theme at the time because of what's happening, you know, Nixon getting busted and all that,
right?
You know, which is really about the corruption of the of that party, of the Republican Party.
Hillary Clinton was part of that,
and but not only that, it was about this corruption, but also about how, you know, the blues artists, these name artists, could actually make some comments about the corruption of the system on a larger, kind of almost a macro scale. In other words, it's a real criticism of the entire system. You know, it's really focusing on like this big systemic failure, you know, and the corruption. So now with that, what I'd like to do now is fast forward a bit now to more recent, to Barack Obama, President Obama.
Yes.
And I'm going to play a piece here to give everyone a heads up. It's called Bad Obama Blues, so it gives you a sense right away that it's kind of a, not kind of, it's highly critical. It's by a man named George Jarkissi, who was actually a hedge fund manager.
The irony.
Right. Yeah. And you know, listen, the blues, you've said it several times today, irony is very, very prominent in the blues. And now we may go out with this tune today, because it's a, and I just want everyone to understand that this is what hurdy-gurdy songs are about. People telling their truth, good or bad, right, wrong, indifferent, you know, judgment, no judgment, whatever. Jarkissi, oops, was so disappointed with what Obama was doing to the country with his unconstitutional executive orders, and his appointing of communist czars, surrounding himself with advisors with close ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, closing down coal mines, and with his targeting conservatives for persecution through the EPA, the IRS, and the SEC, that he wrote a song called Bad Obama Blues. However, just you should be aware that Law 360 in New York, there was a judgment, and the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission ordered Jarkissi, who was a hedge fund manager and conservative talk radio host, to pay $1.7 million after investigating claims that he overstated the value of two funds in his capital management group. So this guy himself was not that clean.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Was this guy African-American?
No. No, he was not African American, but let's check out the Bad Obama Blues.
Yeah, let's check it out.
And you know, we don't have, maybe we won't play the whole thing, but I want to play some of it, most of it, because I think it'll give you a nice sense of like where George was coming from.
Mm-hmm. Now listen to me, people. There's something that I got to say. It's sure making me upset with what's happening in my country today. You know, the federal government's trying so hard to destroy the middle class. We got veterans living in the street because the system throws them in the trash. Get up and fight for the light, people. Obama is a liar. Stand up for the Constitution. Freedom gonna take you higher. A man starts with nothing but by the sweat of his brow builds himself a good business, makes his mama proud. But more and more and more the government takes control. They strangle him with regulations. Oh, ain't got the business no more. Get up and fight for the light, people. Cause Obama is a liar. Yes. Stand up for the Constitution. I said freedom gonna take you higher. Oh yeah, play that guitar for me, son.
So, Lamont.
Yes.
Notwithstanding the very capable blues guitar stylings, I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on this piece, Bad Obama Blues.
Well, you know, performance-wise, it sounds very good. So let's get that out the way. It sounded good, so I don't want... It's nothing like that. But it, again, it's extremely ironic that someone... is yelling that a rich person has the blues because they didn't get a tax cut. You know, that is actually more insulting than anything else.
true that.
You know, the...
Oh, yeah.
So, it's not that, you know, rich people can't have the blues, but I would say the rich people, wealthy people have the They're uptight. They have adjustments. They have bad moments. We got the blues because we here on the ground.
Lamont Perley, I want to thank you for joining me today. We're going to have to do this again.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot more blues, President Blues and other that we're going to have to get to. So I just want to thank you again. And let me go into... piece to kind of wind down today's program. But before I do, just want to mention to everyone that you are listening to Hurdy Gurdy Songs on Radio Free Brooklyn. Tune in.